On behalf of the family, I want to welcome everyone here today, and we want to have a service today that would honor the Lord and honor the life that Janet lived for Him. I want to read what Stephen and Laura had written. It says, Janet Underwood Welford of Mobile, Alabama, passed into eternity on Wednesday, December the 29th, 2021, at the age of 75. Born to John Wesley Underwood, Jr. and Maisel Autry Underwood, she was the middle of three children. She drew upon her deep faith in Christ and her devout, loving family to overcome childhood health obstacles, including polio. She excelled academically, graduated from Murphy High School, attended the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa, majoring in bacteriology, and was a member of the Alpha Chi Delta sorority. In chemistry lab, she met her true love, Alvin. They married and enjoyed 47 years together. She continued her education at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, interning in medical technology. Later, she found her calling as a librarian for Mobile Public Library and ruminated that she might help the person who cures cancer. Ironically, cancer and other health issues would challenge her, but she conquered them every time with unwavering tenacity and strength. She was selfless and generous, serving as a caregiver for both her mother and her husband with compassion and fortitude. She devoted herself to her entire family, nurturing, guiding, and inspiring two children and five grandchildren, and she cherished her pets. She loved history and was a longtime member of the D'Iberville chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution. With her mother, she researched our genealogy 13 generations back to the Mayflower. She expressed love with food and was a talented cook. She was a gifted piano player and writer, having several poems and stories published. And we're going to read a couple of her poems in just a moment. She loved animals, art, and nature. Her favorite place was Great Smoky Mountains National Park. She is preceded in death by her parents, mentioned above, husband Alvin Welford of Mobile, Alabama, sister Priscilla Underwood, and husband Joe Hendricks of Seattle, Washington, aunts, uncles, brothers-in-law, Joe, wife Cammy Hendricks of Seattle, Washington, Dr. Mack, and wife Nettie Alice Welford of Salem, Virginia. She is survived by brother Wes Underwood of Denver, Colorado, brother-in-law Calvin, and wife Judy Welford of Grand Bay, Alabama, son Stephen Welford of Mobile, Alabama, daughter Laura Welford, Vincent, husband Vincent from Vincent Santiago of Mobile, Alabama, grandchildren, Sheldon Welford, Braylon Welford, Jasmine Welford, Isabella Santiago, and Dominic Santiago, all of Mobile, Alabama, nieces Beth Poff of Salem, Virginia, Julie Greenhill of Charlottesville, Virginia, doctors Catherine and husband Nick Varney of Charlottesville, Virginia, and Jennifer and husband Gil Johnson of Alberta, Alabama, nephews Eric Underwood of Magnolia Springs, Alabama, Scott, wife Nikki Hendricks of Vancouver, Washington, Justin Hendricks of Salt Lake City, Utah, and Jeffrey Welford of Grand Bay, Alabama, cousins and other relatives. She was the matriarch of our family and will be dearly missed. The family will receive friends today, of course, here at the funeral home. You know, and I read the obit the other night, and by the way, that was an outstanding job of writing that, and I know you've captured not only the history, the accuracy of the history of your mother's life, but just somewhat of her spirit, and she impressed me as someone who's interested in a lot of things, and you know, an interested person is usually an interesting person, and they're involved in a lot of things, and she certainly was. And an excellent poet, as I found out. I read this for the first time just a little while ago, but an excellent poet. And so I'd like to read these two poems that she's written today, and both of them Christian poems, and certainly appropriate for a service like this. First one is called The Chosen. He walks across the sands of time, his followers to proclaim, heading toward a fisherman's boat while calling out each name. He climbs into the vessel that drifts away from shore. He places his hands upon the waves, creating ripples that stir and soar. He views into the water as we launch into the deep. Let down the nets, he summons, a miracle for us to reap. A bountiful catch thus filled our boat as our wonderment compounds and thrills. Who is this stranger, we ponder, that even fish obey his will? He beckons, come, follow me, and fear not, for a new life you will find. I'll make you fishers of men to change this world of mine. His identity to us is thus revealed as scriptures of old foretold. The long-awaited Christ and King is Jesus, the Savior, and God's only Son. Will we cast our nets for this Savior? Will we give Him our best, our all? Yes, we will follow this man called Jesus and become part of the family of God. And the reference for that is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And she captured that day when Jesus called His disciples to follow Him very well in that poem. The second one is called Heaven Bound. She says, on that day this body shall cease, and to glory my soul's released. Remember others that passed that day could also enter heaven's way. No matter our color, wealth, or deeds, He is the soul's most fervent need. In Jesus Christ we must confess and seek Him only above all rest. So arm in arm and hand in hand, our destiny is the promised land. Kindred souls, we pray together, each asking forgiveness from Him forever. When at last heaven's gate we stand, to our knees we bow with outstretched hands. As open books before us lay, our lives, our sins, our thoughts displayed. Unworthy we are, our voices cried, for standing before us the reason why. The King of Kings, the Lamb of God, the Holy One, the cross, His suffering, the sacrifice He's done. Our sins forgiven, the slate erased, Christ Jesus has saved us by His grace. Heaven's gate now opened, we enter in, rejoicing and singing our praises to Him. And these hymns that we're going to hear today as part of this service were two of her very favorite hymns, and we want to listen to one of these at this time.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. to my knees, will I fall, will I sing hallelujah, will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine.
And it should be a source of great comfort to the family to know that because of her faith in Christ, that Janet is in His very presence this afternoon. And no way she could have imagined what it would be like to be there. No way we can imagine. But if we know Christ is our Savior, we have the promise in God's Word of a reunion day. And I'm going to talk about that in the message in just a moment. And so we can look forward to being there with her in the presence of the Lord in the future, those of us who know Christ. I want to center our thoughts just for the next few minutes, and I want to minister something to the family, especially today, that would be a comfort to them and encouragement to them for days ahead. Very practical matters of how to face the days that lie just ahead. I was sharing with Laura a few minutes ago in the room that just this morning I was reading about Jacob in the book of Genesis. And how after he died, the family went through a lengthy process of grieving and mourning for him. And we need to understand, those of us who are friends that are here today, that we need to pray for this family for a while to come. Because grief is not something that just goes away immediately. It tends to come in waves, and it lasts. And so it will get better, but it's something that you'll have really the... There's an empty spot in your heart that will last until you see her again. And so we want to just minister some comfort if we can this afternoon. I want to center our thoughts around this, these thoughts from God's Word. The promises of God for believers who are grieving. There's some promises in God's Word for believers who are grieving. And so I want to... Let's just for a few minutes to think about what some of those promises are. First thing that I want to mention is that there is the promise of comfort. There's a promise from God that He will provide comfort when we come to times in our life where we need comfort. I want to read just a couple of verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." You notice there in that first verse that I read that God is referred to as a God of mercies and the God of all comfort. And that reminds us that God brings comfort into our lives at any time of our life when we need it. Sometimes there's distress that comes into our lives because of the circumstances of life. Sometimes there's discouragement that comes, and we need comfort from the Lord in times of discouragement. Certainly there can be times of sickness and times of sadness over other things other than death. I talked to a man just very recently, and he was really struggling because his little six-year-old granddaughter, who had lived here with him in the Mobile area, and he and his wife, only grandchild that they had, but their family moved away to North Carolina, and he was just really grieving over that. And so my prayer for him was that God's Holy Spirit would be a comfort for him in a time like that. And so it's not just at times of death that we need the comfort of the Lord, but certainly when we come to a day like today, there's a need for God's comfort. We need a comfort beyond our own selves. We can find comfort in other people. We can find comfort in many ways. But what we really need is a supernatural comfort that comes only from the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul said that when we come to days of sorrow like this, that we don't have to sorrow as others that have no hope, but because we have the hope of eternal life in Christ. And that word hope there in the New Testament just means the strong assurance of eternal life. We have comfort in the words of Scripture, the promises of God. That word comfort, it's used here in this text in 2 Corinthians. It speaks about something or someone who would come alongside to help. Something or someone that would come along beside us to help. And what the Scripture is ultimately speaking about here is the Holy Spirit, of course, the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 14 through 16, in those three chapters in particular, we read about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how He ministers in our lives at times like this. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said this. Listen to these words of the Lord Jesus. He said, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." And He was just planning at this time. It was just a day or two before His crucifixion, and He was going to spend another short time with the disciples and then ascend back to heaven. And so He was trying to prepare His disciples for His going away. And He said, "I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper," and Old King James translates that Comforter, "the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." And Jesus there is talking about the Holy Spirit. He's telling His disciples that the Holy Spirit, He will send the Holy Spirit to bring comfort in their lives. Just a page or so back in chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. Let me read these words to Jesus. He said, "I will pray the Father, I pray to the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." And so the words there indicate that the Holy Spirit is one who would come along beside us at a time of grief like this, when we need Him the most, that He would come and bring comfort to our lives. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. There's a lady by the name of Elizabeth Elliot. Some of you probably have heard of Elizabeth Elliot. She is, years ago, she was on the radio very regularly. She still has a daily podcast. My wife listens to Elizabeth Elliot every morning as she gets ready for work, and so I get to hear the things that she teaches, it's a blessing to my life to hear her teach. But one of the things she was talking about recently on one of those podcasts was what you can do when you come to a time of grief in your life, a time of great sorrow in your life. And she gave six things, and I'm just going to mention these very briefly, but it's very practical things that you can do to help to get through this time and to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit at this time, because the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to comfort us, but we need to be in cooperation with that. And sometimes what happens is we just resume life, we get back to everything's back to normal, and we just We don't really go through the grief process the way that we need to, and we don't allow God's Spirit to minister in our lives like we need to at times like this. So let me give you these six things, and I hope they'll be helpful to you. The first thing she said is, be still and know that God is God. Be still and know that God is God. And she takes that from Psalm 46, verse 10. In other words, in the days and weeks ahead, you need to plan some time just to be still, to get alone, and ask God to give you the comfort of His Holy Spirit. Second thing she mentioned is to give thanks. To give thanks. Now, not for the death of Janet, of course. That's not what she was talking about there. Not for the grief that you're going through. But to give thanks for the presence of the Lord. When the Lord begins to minister to you, one of the ways that you can enter into that is just to thank Him for His daily presence in your life. The third thing that she mentioned is to refuse self-pity. There's a sense in which we tend to do that as human beings. We tend to feel sorry for ourselves when we come to a time like this, but that can be very destructive in our lives. And so she said, don't feel like this is something that has just happened to you, because it's a part of life. Death, of course, is a part of life. The fourth thing she mentioned, and this sounds strange to our ears also, but I think it's good advice, is to accept the loneliness that may come from a loss like this as being from God. It's part of God's plan for our lives that we would come to times like this, and God, who knew the end from the beginning, knew that we would all be here today and that there would be a day like this. And for some, there will be loneliness in the days ahead. You will miss your mother and your loved one, your friend. But we need to have the understanding that God's our Master. He's our Lord. He has a plan for our lives. And so all the things that are unfolding in our lives are from God. Fifthly, she said, give that loneliness back to God. In other words, say to the Lord, Lord, use this loneliness in my life to teach me, just like it said in the Scripture here, so we can comfort other people in their loneliness. And then finally, she said, find someone who needs to be ministered to and do something for them. And she actually put it in terms like this. She said, do the next thing. Do the next thing that you would see that God would want you to do, but do something for other people who need ministry. Don't just think that God has brought you to a time like this just so that you could be ministered to. But as our scripture verse there in 2 Corinthians said, see how you can minister the comfort to other people that may be in your life who need that comfort. And so the first promise that we have in the scripture is this promise of comfort. And we're going to be praying in the days ahead for this family that the Lord would minister that comfort to you. The second promise that we have in Scripture is the promise of reunion. And really, this promise of reunion is all throughout the Bible. There's a day coming when the saints of God will be raptured from this earth. Those who are dead in Christ will rise, and all of those who are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord. And the Scripture says, so shall we ever be with the Lord from that point forward. And so there is a reunion for Christian believers, those who know Christ as their Savior. Not only will we be in His presence forevermore, but we will be reunited with our loved ones in His presence. I mentioned Jacob a little bit earlier. Jacob is, of course, one of the main figures in the book of Genesis. He's introduced about halfway through the book in chapter 25, and there's 50 chapters altogether in Genesis. And of course, God gave him the name Israel. He is really the second half of the book of Genesis is all about Jacob. But right at the end of the book of Genesis, he came to the place in his life where he said this. He said, I'm dying. He said, and I will be gathered to my people. And then right at the end of chapter 49, almost to the end of the book of Genesis, it says this. It says, he drew his feet up into the bed with him, and he was gathered to his people. And when you stop and meditate on that phrase, he was gathered to his people, it also says that about some of the other patriarchs that are there in the book of Genesis, that they were gathered to their people. It's not talking about being gathered to be buried, because it's very clear from the context there in Genesis that that's not what it's speaking about. But it's speaking about being reunited with his loved ones that had gone before. Jacob had Abraham, Isaac. There was Ishmael that was in the family line, others that it had mentioned who had died. And so Jacob had the assurance from the Lord that he would be gathered to his people. And we have that assurance. The other day when Janet passed from this life and went into the presence of the Lord, she was in a sense gathered to her people. And there's a day coming in our lives for each one of us. If the Lord tarries in his coming and we depart from this life, there's a day when the description of our life is that we will be gathered to our people, our great-grandparents, our grandparents, our perhaps our parents and other loved ones that have gone on before us. So it's a very precious way of speaking about leaving this life. Now Jesus here in John chapter 14 makes a statement that is really the promise of his resurrection. He says it like this. He says, "The Spirit of truth will come, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither knows him, it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you." He says, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." He says, "A little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me." And then Jesus says this, listen to this. He says, "Because I live, you will live also." And that's the greatest promise of all that is given to us in the Scripture for believers. Because our Lord Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection, he was the first to come forth from the dead to live forevermore. Because of his life, because of his life that is in us, we have the promise in God's Word of the resurrection. And so the question really becomes this, and I want to close out with this today. Do you know Jesus in that saving relationship? You know, Janet's favorite TV preacher was Dr. David Jeremiah. And as I heard that, I began to just search for something that might be appropriate to read as we close out this message. And I came across this that I think just fits perfectly here at the end of this message today. I want you to listen to these. I know most of you are probably familiar with Dr. David Jeremiah. He has a very winsome way about him, and I enjoy watching him when I have an opportunity myself. But just listen to this quote as we close out. He says, "Nothing compares with getting to know the God who knows us. He seeks to be known, for he has revealed himself in nature and in Scripture. Though our finite minds can never comprehend all there is of God, our souls find rest in him. When everything around us fails, he will never falter. When the foundations tremble, he is changeless, immovable, eternal in the heavens. When our hearts are overwhelmed, he is a rock that is higher than we." When we don't know God, we really don't know anything. Our lives are as incomplete without him as a sky without a sun. Our souls find rest in him alone. The most important thing in life is not what we do or where we go, who we're with, how high we rise, how long we live, or how influential we become. The most important thing in life is him. Nothing compares with getting to know the God who knows us. He seeks to be known, and we need to know him. And then he ends up by saying this, "It's time for you to know the God that you may not know, the God who loves you more than you know." And my prayer for you today, if you're here in this service and you don't know Jesus Christ, that you might consider just for these few moments that eternity looms ahead. And have you been made right with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ? Come to Him today, and then you can have that comfort of the Holy Spirit in your life that we talked about. And you can have the promise of one day being gathered again with Janet and with all of your loved ones who knew the Lord as well. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the comfort of your Scripture. We thank you for the comfort of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I want to pray now for this family. Lord, I pray for Stephen and Laura and all the family. Lord, that you would bring special comfort to them today by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, that in days ahead, you will remind them of some of these practical things that we talked about, just to take time, a quiet time, to allow your Holy Spirit to minister in their lives. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do in this family and the lives of all of us in these remaining days of our lives. And we thank you again for your word and for your Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to hear one other hymn that was very precious to Janet. When we first begun.